Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, folks, for our continuing coverage of the winter storm, a historic event here in New Orleans. You know, just about 10 minutes ago, Dave Cohen and I were talking, and we said that we could barely see Caesars outside from our window. It's snowing harder now than it was even then 10 minutes ago. Ain't there no more. Can't see it. It's really coming down hard. Just talked to a couple of guys here from WWL that walked over for lunch at the casino, and they said, "We're two blocks." They were like, "It's a trek when you're walking facing that wind that's coming across." And he said, "I'm not so sure I'm going to do that again." So a lot of challenges here on many different fronts, and we are joined by Hans Gantier, Field Operations Chief for the NOPD. Hans, welcome to the show. Chief, are you there? Does he have us on mute maybe? Or? All right, we're trying to hook up with Chief Hans Gantier, the field operations chief of the NOPD. They were talking. We got him? All right. Chief, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
So, Chief, a lot of challenges out there. This morning when I was driving in to WWL, I was really encouraged. I saw probably about 10 cars, seven of which were NOPD vehicles, and all the barricades were out. Looked like the deployment went well.
Well, yes, we were prepared. We actually were staffed at 100% as of yesterday in preparation for this. We didn't want to have people trying to drive in this weather and then be shorthanded. We did have a call with DODT and LS and Louisiana State Police around 10 p.m. last night, or actually almost 10 p.m. last night, and they indicated they might want to close the roads at somewhere around 2 to 4. So we were prepared to deal with that, and we were able to start our closures around 4 a.m., so that really helped us.
So we were just talking earlier, WWL News Director Dave Cohen, Sheriff Joe LoPinto, and myself, we saw the NOLA Ready alert about accidents being on the increase. Seems as though people are getting a little stir-crazy earlier than normal.
Yeah, we saw that as well. Our message is still the same. Stay home. Don't try to go out in this weather because not many New Orleans or surrounding parishes are used to driving in this type of weather. And it is a different kind of driving. People who feel they have the vehicles to do this try to do it. And, of course, the best thing in this weather is to slow down and try not to apply your brakes suddenly. So we do keep on messaging that. Stay home. Try not to go out, you know, unless, you know, you absolutely have an emergency. But I would not try to go out in this weather.
So Chief Kirkpatrick sent out the message that she was ready to shut these streets down to make sure, you know, that things stayed safe. Most of the folks that we talked to today are saying today's not really the challenge. It's going to be tomorrow when we have this long period of low 20-degree weather and iced-over roads will be a big challenge. Your thoughts?
That's absolutely correct. You know, it's worse because underneath the snow will freeze because of the precipitation, and the weather, the temperatures are really expected to be in the 20s, you know, and that causes, of course, ice underneath the snow, where you may think it's just, you know, powdery snow and you're hitting ice. So that is going to be a challenge, and we're going to keep our closures in place until we've been told by the National Weather Service whether this is melting or it's, you know, going down as far as the temperatures are rising, and also this ice is melting. So that is something we still ask people to still stay home and don't run around in their vehicles out here unless they absolutely, it's an emergency and only an emergency. I would not recommend just coming out and looking out to see what it looks like. It's a very dangerous situation, and it causes officers to be put in a dangerous predicament to try to go help people.
Absolutely. I know it's always a challenge to get your workforce in these types of conditions. Even this is kind of a different perspective than with a hurricane, right? You got the calm before the storm. Everyone hunkers down for the storm, and then everyone kind of reappears. That's not how this one's working out, is it?
No, it's not. This was a message that we sent out to our district captains and all our captains to make sure their people try to stay. We're not going to want to have them driving back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. This is really, as we ask the public to do something, we want to, you know, follow that principle as well. We don't want them driving back in this weather, so we'll tell them to hunker down at the stations, and or if they can't, we'll find them a place to be at another station that has plenty of rooms. We have cots from hurricanes, and we have the ability to hunker down if we have to, so we're asking that they do that as well.
Yeah. Any other particular challenges that y'all are recognizing?
Well, as the weather gets worse, you know, we can't man all the on-ramps. We do place these barricades on. People are, for some reason, feel that they have to get on. They move the barricades, and people think that those roads are open. So our challenge is to maintain those closures. We're having our officers, very limited few, but, you know, safely as possible, go around and make sure the closures are still in place, and no one has moved those barricades to think that the road is open. So that's one of our biggest challenges that we're seeing, as you see an increase in accidents. It may not necessarily be on the interstate, but also people just driving around on the roadway. So we have, so far, the Crescent City is open one lane. The ODT is actually, you know, putting salt down, but the level of snow that's coming down, I don't think they can maintain it for long. So we would ask the same question. Stay off those bridges and, you know, stay off the roads.
So, Chief, you're not telling me that there are actually people out there that believe that these barricades are for everyone else but not them, right?
We see that all the time. You can have barricades up, and for some reason it says not for me.
It's amazing, right? That's an invitation for them to get on the interstate, not to stay off the interstate. Right?
Yeah, we've seen that a lot.
You know, after 40 years in law enforcement, always mystified me as to the thought process of individuals when, you know, these things are closed for a reason, and not for me, for everyone else, but not for me.
Yeah, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. And that's what we want to tell people. You see a barricade there, it's there for a reason.
So, Chief, I had asked this of Colin Arnold when I talked yesterday. You know, I was always kind of curious about communications, and I understand that the radio system's working great. It's nice to have it tested in a snowstorm, but we'd like the snowstorm to go away once we've actually tested it, right?
Yes, we would. So far, our comms have been real great, and we're able, you know, we have the ability, obviously, you know, from being the sheriff of Jefferson Parish, that we can communicate with our various partners, state police, other jurisdictions, and we're able to work through any problems we have. And our communication's been great. Obviously, you know, we got out that message that we're going to close the roads at 4 a.m. really quickly, and we were able to get it to the 10 p.m. news. And that was, you know, after a 25-minute call, and we started implementing. Obviously, our radios are important to us, but also the communication that we're having.
I guess it's reasonable to assume that the interstate system will be closed tomorrow as well, because the consensus is that the conditions will probably be more dangerous tomorrow than they actually are today.
I would assume that is the case. So far, we do not plan on opening it. Right, that is going to be a DODT call, but we will support them in whatever call they make. However, it is looking like this is going to an event that's going to go through tomorrow, at least until these temperatures rise, because then, you know, we just talked about it. You know, we're going to have freezing snow and freezing ice, and, you know, it's not a good thing to really try to drive in that. But we'll take our lead from DODT and the state police as well, and we'll collaborate. We have a call with them probably sometime later this evening.
You know, it's interesting. I got a text that said, are police officers trained to drive in the snow? I don't know about you, Chief, but I can answer this from my experience. No, because it never happens here.
So, yeah. That's correct. I mean, I'm lucky to have been, you know, raised in the East, and so I'm familiar with driving in the snow. However, you know, it occurred to me, as Chief Kirkpatrick told me yesterday, that, you know, our officers aren't used to driving in this. And I was like, yeah, you're right. She recommended maybe we find an empty lot and kind of get them in between calls and see if they can maneuver in the snow, learn how it affects their vehicle and what their vehicle can do. So, yeah, that's one of the things we pushed out, and hopefully they were able to do that. But our main thing is, again, the same to tell the public, drive slowly, don't hit the brakes hard, and you know, take your time getting somewhere.
I think a lot of your units are all-wheel drive units. I remember the old rear-wheel drive police units. They were deadly when you had ice.
Our newer vehicles are all-wheel drive, thank God. And we actually sent out a video on how to work it in the snow and which buttons to press. We actually sent an OPD all for that. And so they're all aware of it right now. I don't think a lot of them will realize it had dysfunction. But we had our management services bureau sent that out so that everybody's aware, hey, you have this function that you can hit this button and it'll work, you know, in the snow.
Yeah, so it actually works. So it's good.
Yeah.
So, final thoughts, Chief?
Oh, really? Thank you for having us on. Keep in mind that we will be pushing out information. Keep an eye on the news. You know, our public information officers will be putting things out in the news as soon as we can get them. We're working closely with our Emergency Operations Center, LSP, and, you know, our neighboring parishes, you know, DODT, and we're going to push some of this information out. I realize people are wondering when they can start heading back, but right now I would hunker down till at least after tomorrow and see what happens then. But that's our message.
Stay safe, stay warm, Chief. We really appreciate it. Chief Hans Gantier, Field Operations, NOPD. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. Welcome back to our continuing coverage of the winter storm. It's probably going to be a historic event at the accumulation rate that we're seeing at the present time. Joining us is Jacques Thibodeau, the director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, otherwise known as GOSEP. Jacques, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Let's, if you don't mind, Jacques, start out with this accumulation rate. I think we're setting record numbers across the state. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. So when this started coming through, it really started coming down in droves. And we have some places that have as much as 5 to 8 inches. And we're not out of the woods yet. We're still fighting through the process on it. One of the things that we'll tell everyone is, please just stay off the roads because the weather is pretty substantial. And it's normally about 3 to 5 inches, and in some places over 8 inches.
Jacques, the predictions were that we would be in these snow conditions till some period of time between 5 and 7 p.m. this evening or early evening. Is that still the projection?
It is. And then so the circumstance, the good news for it is we have less than 2,000 people across the state without power. Mm-hmm. So that is good news. But the bad news on what comes behind this is the bitter cold. So the precipitation, we believe, will stop between 3 and 5 p.m. across the state. And hopefully that'll give our Department of Transportation the opportunity to clear some of the roads. But what we're going to see on the back end of this is low teens and high single digits all the way through tomorrow and tomorrow evening and possibly into Thursday. So the hard part is going to start as we hit 5 or 6 this afternoon and the snow winds up being out there and now the bitter cold will make it very difficult to be outside.
Shock, I was just on the phone with Chief Hans Gantier of the NOPD, and he didn't know the answer to this question, but I guess it is safe to assume that the interstate will remain closed tomorrow.
I think that anywhere elevated on the interstate is going to remain closed. So what you're going to see is the issues that we're having with the bridges and the fact that the snow will not melt is the main issue that we have. Now, we do have quite a bit of assets we've got from Arkansas that are snow plows, brine trucks, salt trucks, and sand trucks that will help us get through the process. But I think what you see on the interstates is what you're going to see tomorrow well into the afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider how many miles of interstate roadway that we actually have in the state, it's hard to have an expectation, or unreasonable, I guess, to have an expectation that we'll be able to clear these roads within the next 24 hours, right?
Yes, sir. And then the challenge we have in the southern area is the low-lying bridges that are over the water sources. It's a little different in North Louisiana in that there's not as many of the interstate bridges or the state road bridges that go low-lying over water. That's the challenge we have here in Louisiana with the water source being so close to the bridge, it's going to freeze. So the state police and Department of Transportation are out there doing the best they can. Just the rates are falling so much, and then the bitter cold is going to make it extremely difficult tomorrow.
The deployment of both the snow plows and the salt spreaders, the priority for you guys is going to be what?
Well, the first priority that we're going to try to do is from a state standpoint, is keep those major tributaries open. And that's primarily state roads. So the state roads obviously are going to have the biggest aspect of it. And the whole desire is to keep them available for first responders to get to people, for 911 calls, for possible fires, for law enforcement related aspects. So those state roads become the biggest priority. And then as we can catch up with those, the major tributaries that would not be state roads where we can lend assistance to the parishes come next. But you're going to see a lot of activity on all of those state roads, 190, Highway 90, all the elements that go east and west and north to south that are not interstate. And the interstates are also clearly a priority.
When the interstate highway west of Baton Rouge, is that open or is it closed?
It's closed. And what I will tell everyone, if you want to get a good view of what all the winter aspects are, you can go to virtual.la.gov, virtual.la.gov. And you have all of, it's a one-stop shop of all the road closures. It's got all of the power outages. It's got school closings, emergency declarations, or you can go to the Get a Game Plan app, which are GoSIP's apps for information on all the winter weather. But it is closed, yes.
And, again, that's going to be the challenge tomorrow. So pretty much – let me rephrase the question. So the entirety of the I-10 in the state is closed at the present time?
Well, looking at it right now, I'm looking at it from the standpoint, I-10, when you're talking about coming from west to east, the loop in southern Lake Charles is closed, and then all the way from Lake Charles to Lafayette is open but very, very slow. And then once you get from Lafayette to Baton Rouge, is closed. And then I-12 is closed from Baton Rouge all the way to almost to Hammond. And then I-10 is closed from Baton Rouge just to right around Prairieville. And then when you get into New Orleans, I-10 in through Laplace, all the way in to New Orleans East, and then through Slidell is all closed.
So going into tomorrow, I mean, almost everyone without exception says that they really believe tomorrow is going to be the biggest challenge. What do you think is you know, the most critical thing for you guys?
Well, the first aspect, obviously, is we don't want anyone on the roads because the risk of life to your life and to your safety is when you get on the roads. What concerns me the most is as we begin to have this bitter cold, to have a freeze set over of snow that may be in the trees, and then now that begins to create weight on the trees that would fall on the power lines, and to have power outages. Of course, we want everyone off the road, and we've been pretty fortunate with that messaging and the public listening so far, but we're very much concerned about this bitter cold and the freeze on the roads with black ice, and then also the aspect of the power lines starting to fail because of these trees falling on the power lines.
And again, the best advice to everyone is stay home. Pretty much everything is going to be closed tomorrow. I understand we have challenges at the respective airports throughout the state of Louisiana as well. So unless it's critically necessary, don't get out on the highway.
Absolutely. If you get on the road and you put yourself in a circumstance that the local sheriff's department or police department or EMS or fire department may not be able to get to you. There's so much snow falling right now, so do not put yourself at risk, and please show respect to the first responders that are out there fighting to save lives every minute of every hour.
If you would talk to us a little bit about, I spoke to the governor earlier about these snow plows and salt spreaders that were given to us under the EMAC. If you would describe that process for our listening audience and why that's critical to your mission.
Absolutely. It's called the Emergency Management Assistance Compact. And what it is, it's an agreement between the states to provide emergency management personnel and equipment and resources to other states in time of need. We knew early on that we did not have the expertise in the southern part of the state nor the equipment to battle the snow that we were going to fight. So 6 days ago, we requested an EMAC mission through GOSEP to the Arkansas Division of Emergency Management. And what it is, it's 46 snow vehicles, whether it be snow plows. And the snow plows, there's I think roughly a dozen snow plows that can move 12 inches of snow at a time. It is of the 46 vehicles that we have, it comes with the personnel that have the expertise to do this, and they work in conjunction with the DOTD traffic plan, and their goal is to work with DOTD and give us some subject matter expertise to clear these roads and to make it safer throughout the entire process.
The governor had described a conversation that he had with the governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, from Arkansas about do's and don'ts. Any example of some of the don'ts?
Well, there's quite a few. And then, so when they had that conversation, it prompted myself to make a phone call to A.J. Gary, who is my counterpart in Arkansas, and we just got some tips from them. And so we got some tips from them, and their circumstance was much worse than ours because they received over 12 inches of snow in less than 24 hours, wow. And they've got hills and valleys. Yep. So one of the things they talked about with us is, you know, we don't necessarily have that down south, but they identified to us that we were going to have elements of freezing on the backside of this, which is why they gave us a tip to use a brine, which is a salt water mix. And what that does is once the snow melts, it washes off. The salt in the water, it de-ices, it melts the ice, and it will, in effect, wash itself off. And they do not use rock salt. They use, or any kind of salt, they use this brine. And they gave us some tips on how to apply these on a statewide scale.
Isn't that interesting? After all these years, they got these little anecdotal remedies to these problems, right?
Absolutely it is. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting is we come together twice a year as a region in FEMA Region 6, and one of the things that none of them had in any of their emergency plans is an evacuation plan. And it was just foreign to me that a state would not have an evacuation plan. And so everybody's kind of got their nuances where they're good, which is why these EMACs are so important. I had no clue. But to be honest with you, I've never seen a snowplow in operation as an emergency manager. So that gave us some level of expertise going governor to governor in something that we couldn't have done. And they don't even know how to evacuate for a hurricane because they never see that in Arkansas. So we all just kind of take care of each other and share our trade secrets.
And this brine solution is delivered how? I mean, you mix it yourself, obviously, but is there a special vehicle or a special way of distributing that material?
Yeah, so basically what happens is the snowplow trucks actually have a snowplow on the front, And in the back is a tanker that has the brine, so it does two things at one time. It plows the snow off, and then it sprays the brine solution as you clear the road to keep the ice from settling. So you're removing the snow, and you're melting the ice, and you're making the road safer. It's just the fall rate that we're getting is making it difficult to keep up.
So we just got word, we're speaking with Jacques Thibodeau, Director of Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Jacques, Dave Cohen, WWL News Director, joins us. Dave?
Yeah, the NOLA Ready for the city of New Orleans has just alerted us that despite their best efforts, they can no longer keep the Crescent City Connection Bridge open. They had been keeping one lane open in each direction with the exits and entrances immediately on either side of the Mississippi River available, but they've just notified us that they can no longer do that. They've lost that battle, and so now the Crescent City Connection across the Mississippi River is closed in both directions.
This is emblematic, Jacques, of what you were just talking about. Conditions are changing quick, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir. Both to both of y'all. So, you know, when you look at the virtual.la.gov and you go to the 511, you can see now the Crescent City Connection is closed, the Huey P. Long is closed, and the Luling Bridge is closed. So, and so the only bridges that are open right now is the Gramercy Bridge, down to degraded down to one lane, and then the Sunshine Bridge. So, getting from the East Bank to the West Bank, particularly in New Orleans, is very difficult right now.
Clearly, there are no ferries running either.
Oh, no, sir, not at this time, and there won't be, no, sir.
I can't remember in recent history, this to both Jacques and Dave, that the southeastern part of the state was totally isolated, East Bank from West Bank.
No, it's. I mean, we go back a ways on this now, right? When we think about it, I don't remember this at all. You know, one of the things that we saw when this moved in last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, it moved in earlier than we thought. And then the interstate just became overwhelmed. And then we knew that we would get less precipitation and condensation in the west, but we were extremely worried about what would happen from Baton Rouge to the east. I think it's just unprecedented. I do not remember in my entire time living in southeast Louisiana when New Orleans has been isolated. Right down the middle.
Dave?
No, yeah, I'm trying to think back to the last major ice storm. I know the connection closed during that ice storm because it was close to 100 vehicles crashed on the Pontchartrain Expressway, and there was just no way to get anyone through, and the entrances and exits were all iced over. But I don't remember when every bridge and every means of crossing the river had been eliminated, and we're running out of ways to get from the North Shore to the South Shore, too, as well. And Jacques, correct me if I'm wrong, last time I looked, the Highway 11 was still technically open, and the low road on US 51, but if you check the cameras on 511LA.org, no one has driven 51. There's no tire tracks in it. It's complete. It's good 5-6 inches of snow on that. So if you got to get from one side of the lake to the other right now, that's extremely difficult. You would think go to Baton Rouge and do that, but as you delineated a short time ago, I-12 is closed between Hammond and Baton Rouge. So there's very few real options for crossing the major bodies of water that surround us here.
Absolutely, and that's what's compounding and exacerbating the situation. Just the low-lying roads that are there, you cannot move. The snow is just coming through. The good news is we think that when we get this break, it's going to be a break on the snow, and we will be able to catch up with about 3 hours from about anywhere from 3 to 5 for about 3 hours when it opens, but then it's going to get bitterly cold. So, again, everyone, please, has got to stay off the road, and you're pretty much isolated. If you're on one side of the river or one side of the lake, you're going to have to stay there at least through to tomorrow.
Jacques, final thoughts?
Well, just, you know, everyone be safe, stay off the roads, and I appreciate y'all getting the message out to everyone. You make it a lot easier for us to be able to call in and get that word out, and we appreciate the partnership with all media outlets.
Well, thank you, sir. Anytime you need to get some information out, please know that we stand ready to do so, Dave.
And we know we'll hear from Shock and from the governor coming up around 3 o'clock. They've called a news conference, and we'll be carrying that live, Shock, here on WWL.
Thank you, Jacques Thibodeau, Director of Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, GOSEP. We really appreciate your time, your insights. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line as we provide continuing coverage of this winter storm. I think it's going to set some records. I think that might be a better bet than Secretariat at this point.
Yeah, well, we were definitely in the 1895 discussion right now,
yeah,
in terms of snowfall and impacts. And, yeah, and obviously no one who is alive now was alive then. So this is definitely.
I don't know. I had a caller that said he was alive.
In 1895, really?
Yeah, he said, yeah, I was around then.
Oh,
he goes,
okay.
I had more hair, but I.
On that note.
Yes. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. This is really strange down here. So you will recall about 45 minutes ago, Dave Cohen and I were talking. We could not see the Four Seasons building, and that's how hard it was snowing. Then about 10 minutes ago, we could see. We were able to see the outline of the building. So we go off air just now for the commercial break. We come back and in that short period of time, we're having difficulty seeing the Four Seasons building again. So I asked Dave if he knew what they called this particular type of snow. And I can always count on my listening audience to educate me. They help me out all the time. And someone texts in and says it's called grapple, G-R-A-U-P-E-L. It's soft, small pellets form when supercooled water droplets at a temperature below 32 degrees Fahrenheit freeze onto a snow crystal, a process called, I guess it's rimming, R-I-M-I-N-G. And this process is particularly intense. The snow crystals can grow to an appreciable size but stay less than 2/10 of an inch. They're small, and the snowfall can get pretty intense with this type of snow. So we were just looking out of the window, looking at it, and all of a sudden the snowflakes changed, and we start seeing actual flakes about the size of a nickel. And it's amazing, just in the 4 hours that I've been on air from the time that I arrived and went on air, how the conditions have changed from, you know, light snow to absolutely intense snow, back to light snow, back to intense snow, and then the snow itself changing in its character. It's one thing to have snow here in the city in New Orleans to begin with, right? But to go through this process of this change in what we're seeing, and I'm getting pictures from Grand Isle and Des Almonds and Prairieville and friends from throughout southeast Louisiana, pictures of folks actually building snowmen and things of that nature. It's just really, really interesting. You know, as we continue to provide this coverage, Scoot will be on here shortly for the next 4 hours.
You know what I find interesting, Newell?
Yeah.
From what I hear of people up north, and I lived in Alaska for a short period of time, they tell me, I'm not sure if it's true, that no snowflake is identical.
Is identical. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, but when you look at it, when you look outside and see how many individual snowflakes that they are, it's sort of like a bewilderment to believe that none of them
are the
same. Alike.
Yeah. You know, and what's also interesting is it's been going sideways all morning long, right? And it's still not stopped yet. The wind is still pretty intense. And a number of our folks went down to the Caesars Casino to get a lucky dog. And
lose some money.
And lose some money. They said that was the worst part about it was the wind. Not so much the snow, but the wind. And it continues to be a challenge. And, again, NOLA Ready had put out an alert that a number of accidents are occurring. Folks don't really know how to drive in this type of weather unless you absolutely have to be somewhere, go somewhere, stay home. Things are starting, conditions are starting to get worse. They're going to get even more so, more dangerous conditions overnight, as this allegedly is going to stop at some point between, according to Jacques Thibodeau, the director of Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, GOSEP, at some point between 3 and 5 is what they're saying. Others have said it may extend to 6 or 7, but we shall see. All right, when we come back, we'll check in with Scoot, who's headed your way, so stay with us. So folks are asking, so what are the 7 types of snowfall? Well, they include snow flurries, light, intermittent snowfall with minimal accumulation, snow showers, snow squalls, blowing snow, that's interesting, blizzard, lake effect snow, and what I just talked about, grapple. We are joined by Scoot, who's headed in here next for continuing coverage of this winter storm.
It's cold in here.
It's as cold in this studio.
Let me tell you, if the sprinkler system goes off, we're going to have snow in the studio.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got this little thing here that's helped out a little bit.
Yeah, I see that. Wow.
Yeah, have you ever seen anything like this before?
Well, in Denver, but not here in New Orleans. No, I have a vague memory of the snow of 1963. And when I say vague, I mean vague. I wasn't here when it snowed in 2008. In fact, ironically, my son and his wife at the time were traveling from Portland to New Orleans to visit his mom, and they were flying through Denver. They got stuck in Denver and had to spend time with us, so I thought that was really kind of cool. But anyway, no, I've never seen anything like this in New Orleans. I was just in the snow in Portland a couple of days ago, and, I mean, this is just so exciting. So, you know, we'll talk about this afternoon.
Absolutely. I was looking out of the window, and, you know, we lost sight of the Four Seasons Hotel, and we just can now see it again for the first time in a little bit over an hour.
Wow.
Scoot's up next. Stay tuned.